as an airborne soldier from the 101st Airborne, and he went there to do a project to talk about three men who had given their lives on June the 6th, 1944. And he was in the cemetery, and he presented just a presentation to anybody who came through as it wound up to the 70th anniversary of D-Day. On the day of D-Day, they wouldn't allow him to be in the cemetery in uniform. So he went down to the beach there at Omaha Beach, below the cemetery, in his uniform. And I'll cry as I tell you this. But he went there, and he had a flag. He had a flag with 48 stars, the flag of the United States during World War II. And he stood on the beach with that flag, holding it. The wind was blowing pretty hard. He's a little kid. It was about to blow him over a couple times. But he told his dad, he says, "I stood there and looked at those waves rolling into the shore." He said, "I could see those boats. And I could see those men." And he said, "I had to do something to honor them." And so he stopped and he saluted. And for an hour and a half, he stood on that beach and saluted those soldiers. None of which he knew anything really of. He was 11 years old in 2014. But he stood there for an hour and a half. People came, some made fun of him, some took their pictures with him. Then members of the armed forces, our armed forces, began to come. And they began to salute the flag, and they began to talk to him and encourage him. Veterans from D-Day came and stood beside him. But at the end of that, right as his legs began to buckle and his arm couldn't stay up any longer, a lone bugleman came to the beach, an old, old man. He'd landed at Normandy 70 years before, and he began to play taps. And that young man collapsed into his father's arms at the end of taps. And I thought, what a beautiful, beautiful thing. Let us remember today the sacrifice that allows us to sit in this room. The sacrifice that gives us this freedom. I want to pray real quick again and thank God for that and ask Him to bless this time. Father, we love You. And we thank You, God, again, one more time in the service for the men and women who have given their all. From those first soldiers who fought in our revolution to the men and women deployed around the world today, God, we thank You. And we thank You for their sacrifice. We ask You to bless their families, watch over those who are actively involved in the military today. It's Your name we pray this morning. Amen. I have another remembrance to share with you this morning. It's not about these four guys. I'll get to them in a second. 12 years ago yesterday, the best thing that ever happened to me, my allergies. The best thing that ever happened to me happened. And my wife said yes on the altar 12 years ago. So I love you. And I'm proud of it. Now, Scott made me promise I would put notes down. Where are you, Scott? He made me promise I'd put it in notes. There's only 14 pages, so you'll be out of here. I told the guys, baccalaureate starts at 2 o'clock. You'll be out by 1:45. It'll be great. I've been working on this sermon for 3 months. I have a lot to say. I promise you I have 2 points this morning. I can't get my iPad to open up, so you're gonna get the yellow note, the yellow sheet. Sorry about that, but that's the iPad won't work this morning. We're gonna be looking at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 this morning. Will you find that in your Bibles? But I'm gonna say something there. Paul writes this book of Romans, and it's probably the greatest theological treatise of the faith ever written. Chapters 1 through 11, Paul expounds the theology of the church. Man, he lays out the groundwork, the foundation of what we believe as Christians. And Paul does it beautifully, marvelously. At times, you have to stop when you study Romans and read it several times to kind of catch where Paul's going. But it is an amazing treatise on the faith. Then Paul gets to chapter 12. And his pastoral practical teaching kicks in. Paul always goes deep, but then he comes back and says, well, how do we do this now? And Paul comes to chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And he lays out, he begins this section of the book where he lays out his teaching, his pastoral teaching about how do we live this life of Jesus. Will you stand with me this morning as we read from Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. God bless the reading of His Word. Please be seated. Before we dig into, I have those two points. I have a couple things I want to preface it with this morning. First and foremost, Paul says in the very first verse there in chapter 12, he says, I urge you therefore, brothers, I urge you. The word urge comes from, and I don't read Greek, but I read smart people who do read Greek. And the word comes from the word that Jesus uses to describe the Holy Spirit, the Parakletos in John chapter 15, if I'm saying that right. Donnie, don't correct me, okay? But it's Parakletos. It means one who comes alongside, the helper, the comforter, the advisor. And so Paul very quickly, he says, not as a commander, not as an authority figure, but as one who walks alongside, he says, I urge you, brothers. I urge you to take up this teaching. I urge you to be a living sacrifice. I urge you not to conform, but to be transformed. And so it's just a gentle plea. And today, the Scripture speaks the same way to us. It pleads with us very gently, very quietly. Come alongside. Let's walk this life of Christ together. The next thing I want you to catch real quickly is he says, I urge you, brothers. Modern times they say brothers and sisters, but it's talking about those of us who are of the family of faith. This teaching is to those of us who know Christ and who walk with Christ. This morning, I want you to understand it before I get started. This teaching is for those who know Christ. So I want to urge you to think of something this morning, to take into account something. Before this teaching can mean anything to you, before this teaching can mean anything to any of us, we have to come into relationship with Jesus Christ. This is something that God calls us to. God calls us to a relationship with Him. And God loves each and every one of us. If you're here this morning and you haven't made that decision to walk with Christ, some of this won't make sense to you this morning. Some of the things that I say are not going to register with you because they are not what the world teaches. It is not what the culture around us teaches. I ask you, I urge you this morning, make that first choice to walk with Jesus Christ in relationship. Be one with Him. Because when you understand that teaching, then you'll understand the rest of what we talk about this morning. The first point that I want to make this morning is to not be conformed. Paul goes down into chapter verse 2 and he says, do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world. Folks, that's a big problem today, isn't it? I designed this for these four guys sitting here, but hopefully you can all catch something from me this morning. The world wants you to conform. The world wants you to be just like it is. The world wants you to be vanilla and not stick out. We hear that all the time. Just fit in. Just fit in. Don't be conformed. The Phillips translation of the Bible says it this way. J.B. Phillips translated, he said, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. I love the way Phillips says that. How many of you played with Play-Doh when you were a kid? Maybe you played with Play-Doh as an adult. I still play with Play-Doh whenever it comes around. You remember those things that you take the Play-Doh and you take like 12 different colors, you stuff it in the top, and you get that arm, you squish it down, and stuff would start coming out different places? That's exactly what that verse is talking about. Scripture teaches that we are clay in the hands of the potter, and that the potter has the right to make from us whatever he wants to make of us. But the world says, no, be your own. Fit in to this mold. We have a mold for you. We'll stuff you in here, we'll squeeze you out, you'll pop out like this, and you're going to be a star. Or you're going to be a half moon, or you're going to be a circle, or you're going to be the spot where the thing cracked and it oozes out through. But you're going to fit into our mold. We want you to fit into our mold. Don't be conformed. The message also says it another way. Eugene Peterson writes it. He says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking. We've been talking about this with our students on Wednesday nights for the last few weeks. And we asked them the question a few weeks ago, do you fit in at times without even thinking about it? And the answer from every one of them was yes. If I asked that question this morning, how many of us would say the same thing? That there are times when we just fit into the things around us, that we miss the opportunity to stand out. We allow ourselves to be conformed. I think one of the greatest problems facing the church today, facing our culture today, excuse me, is the fact that we're comfortable in our Christianity. Comfortable. We have nice churches, and we have air conditioning, and we have nice chairs to sit in, and we have nice pews to sit in, and it's nice in here, and it's nice, and everything. We have everything we need. We have video projectors, we have lighting, we have sound. We have all the comforts that the world could offer, and the church has bought into that and to some point. I've wondered it often. When we went to Africa 3 years ago, we met in a little room. It was schoolhouse, church, everything else. It had windows but no glass. There was no air conditioning. It was 150 degrees, wasn't it, Lou? It was 150, 160, something like that day. Humid as all get out, and they had church for 2.5 hours. And we just kept going and kept going and kept going, and they danced. And I thought, you know, what would happen here in August if our air conditioning went out at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning? I don't know about y'all. I'm hot right now, and the air conditioner's running. I wonder, would we stay? I wonder if we would be here. Would we do the things that our brothers and sisters around the globe do? I have friends that went to Uganda, and they stood underneath a tree on Sunday morning and had church. It rained. The sun came out. It got humid. It rained some more. The sun came out. It got humid. They stayed under a tree and had church for hours. We're comfortable in our country. We're comfortable, and we've allowed our culture to conform us. Not always. Many of us in here don't conform. But there are times when all of us are tempted to just fit in, to just not make any noise. Don't rock the boat, the old saying goes. Just don't rock the boat. And we're tempted to do that at times, aren't we? I hate questions like that because it makes me reflect on myself. And yes, I like my stuff. I don't know about y'all, I like my stuff. I like my 50-inch plasma. I like my office that has my desk, that has my remotes that I can turn on the TV and watch what I want to. I like my computers. I like a thermostat that I can turn down. I like a nice bed. I like my clothes. I like my car. I have lots of stuff, and I like my stuff. The world says get all you can. The gospel says maybe that's not exactly the way it should go. Denzel Washington delivered a graduation speech in Louisiana the other day. And one of the things that he said in the graduation speech was this. He said, did you know, you'll never see a hearse pulling a U-Haul trailer. You can't take it with you. You cannot take it with you. He said, having all the stuff in the world doesn't make a difference. He said, it's what you do with the stuff you have and the time that you have to make a difference to the people around you, to serve and to be a servant. That's what makes life worth living. Don't be conformed. Don't be conformed. The second point, y'all need to be amazed. I'm at point two already. I know the choir's back here. They've all got stopwatches going. I can hear them beeping a second ago. Point number two is this. Be transformed. We can talk about the negative all day long, but the point is what we need to look at is Paul says be transformed. And the first thing I want you to catch is when you jump back up to the first verse, he says, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. You see, the Jews didn't completely understand that because their idea of a sacrifice was to take an animal to the temple and slaughter it and offer it on the altar. Thank you. To offer it there on the altar. What Paul says is that's not necessary anymore. He said what's necessary, what God wants from us as followers, is to be a living sacrifice, to offer our lives to Him. In fact, the only acceptable sacrifice anymore is that of our lives. God calls us to give ourselves to Him. Cain wasn't rejected by God because his offering wasn't good enough. It's because his heart wasn't in the right place. Saul wasn't rejected as king of Israel by Samuel and by God because he didn't do the right things. The scripture says, your heart isn't right. David looked at himself after his sin with Bathsheba, and he writes in Psalm 51, a pure heart, O God, is what you require. He said, if you wanted the fat of rams and bulls, I'd give it. But that's not what you want. You want a contrite heart. You want to be known as a person with a heart for God. And David was restored because he turned from his sin. Be transformed. Learn to be a living sacrifice. And folks, guys, you guys sitting right here, it's not going to happen tomorrow. There are people in this auditorium who are in their 80s and 90s who are still learning moment by moment, day by day, how to be a living sacrifice. Being a living sacrifice is a moment by moment choice that you make. You're going off to college, you're going off to the Air Force, you're going off to do the things and whatever you do, and the world is going to try to squeeze you. It's going to try to fit you. It's going to try to make you be what it wants you to be. And it's so much easier to do that. Fit in. It's easy. Don't stand out. That's easy. How many of you guys like doing the easy thing? Sometimes. Like if I'm having to build something, I'd rather have the easy thing. Like somebody else come do it. That's my idea of easy. But you know what? In this life that we walk with Christ, there's no easy to it. In fact, Jesus said, there's a road that's easy, it's wide, and it leads to destruction. But there's a path that leads to life which is narrow. Few are they that find it. Strive to find that narrow path. Look for it. Second point here is to be renewed. Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10 says this, do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of the Creator. We renew our minds, Scripture says. That our mind has to be, our mind leads our body. What we think, we become. What we think, we go towards. We grab hold of a thought or an idea. Have you ever been driving someplace and you get to thinking about something else, and as you're driving, you're thinking and you're not really paying attention, and all of a sudden you end up where you were going and you have no idea where you got, how you got there? Am I the only one in the world who does that? I hope not. I hope there's dangerous people on the road like me besides me. Our mind goes someplace and it leads us into a process. And our body just follows along. We renew our mind every day. We spend time in the Word of God. I know you've heard us say that before. I've said this before. Nike did not come up with the term, just do it. Youth ministry did. We've been telling kids for years, just do it. Just read your Bible. Just pray. Just get in a good church. Be part of good worship. Wasn't our worship amazing this morning? Wasn't it amazing? And I didn't tell Rick what to I can't even hum. I don't tell Rick what to do. He just came up with some songs, and they reflected the glory of God in this place this morning. It was amazing. You need that. We all need that. We need it more than 1 hour on Sunday morning. You need to spend time in the Word of God. You need to spend time in prayer. You need to spend time in personal worship. That's how we renew our minds. Well, what else can I do? What else do I need to do? He said, nothing. Those things. Because when you spend time in the Word of God, when you spend time in prayer, and you spend time in worship, your life will begin to reflect the glory of God that He pours into you. When He reflects it, your outward self will begin to look exactly like your inward self. And it's an amazing thing how that transformation happens. There's one more point I want to make. It's not up on the screen, so I'll go there with this real quick. Stand up and stick out. Stand up and stick out. The world says fit in. Sit down, shut up, be quiet. It tells it to the church. It tells it to us. Look at the culture around us. The culture around us wants us to fit in. It wants us to be quiet on difficult issues. Issues that they say are not of any spiritual importance, so just hush. But they are. And we understand that it's a battle for the souls of men and women. You're going to be challenged, guys, when you get into the workplace, when you get into college. You're going to be challenged with ideas that maybe you haven't heard before. You're going to have things pushed at you that you've never had pushed at you before. Stand up. Stick out. Don't allow the world to transform you. You transform the world around you. In 1538, in England, the Protestant Reformation was just getting kicked off pretty hard and getting its momentum. Henry VIII is the king of England. And Henry VIII has become now the head of the Church of England. His pastors and bishops believed that the king was the ultimate authority over the church. And into that melee, that mess that's going on, all the different things that are happening, steps a man by the name of Robert Lambert. Robert Lambert went to hear one of his favorite preachers preach a sermon, and he didn't agree with what he said about the Lord's Supper, and he questioned him about it, and the man said, well, I think that's a great question. Let's talk to the other bishops and stuff. They brought him before that, and the men urged him not to teach that theology. Don't teach that point of theology, because that might cause some disagreement. That might cause an upheaval, an uproar. Robert Lambert wouldn't do it, and so he appealed his sentence to the king, thinking Henry VIII, he'll hear me. He's a sane guy. We know from history that Henry VIII wasn't quite sane, that he wasn't quite the ruler that he thought he was. Robert Lambert stood before the king for over 5 hours on trial. And at the end of it all, Henry VIII, getting tired of being the head of the church, said, you've heard these men's arguments. What do you have to say? It's your choice, live or die. Robert Lambert said, I appeal to your mercy, your majesty, because I cannot change my mind. And that's the Roger paraphrase, but that's what he said. And the king said, then you die. And a few days later, Robert Lambert was taken to the center of London. He was tied to a stake. The wood was piled around him. He was set ablaze. The fire wasn't quite big enough. There wasn't enough wood on it. So Robert Lambert's legs were burned off, but the rest of his body wasn't burning. So the guards came and they took their long pikes. They jabbed them into Robert Lambert's sides. And they picked him up. And as they were getting ready to drop him into the fire, Lambert reached out his hands that were ablaze with fire and yelled, none but Christ! None but Christ! And he dropped him into the fire and he was consumed. Lambert's death didn't have the effect that the King of England thought it would have. And Lambert was known throughout the land and is celebrated in that picture there in the original Fox's Book of Martyrs. Can you say this morning, none but Christ? None but Christ. As we go into this time of invitation, three things that I'd like to bring out. If you've not made a choice to walk with Jesus, today is your day. This is the time. Peter said to the Sanhedrin when he stood before them, there's no other name given to men by which we must be saved. The name of Jesus and Jesus alone. It is the most exclusive, inclusive statement ever made. It's exclusive because only by Christ Jesus can we have eternal salvation. Only in Christ. The world says there's lots of ways to get to God, to get to heaven. We stand before you this morning and say there's only one. His name is Jesus. He went to the cross for you. He gave his life for you. And he didn't just die there, but he walked out of that tomb to ensure your eternal salvation. There is no other name given this morning or any time else by which men must be saved but Jesus. If you've not made that decision this morning, I pray this morning as we enter this invitation time that you will come, take Donnie by the hand, take me by the hand. Let us share with you the story of Jesus and his great love for you. I hope there's some of you here this morning who are visiting with us and you've gone, even though the youth pastor preached, and you know what happens to the youth pastor preached, the kids run out of the room. You saw it. But even with that, I hope that you found a place where you can feel comfortable. You can be part of a family, be part of a community of believers who will love you, who will encourage you and strengthen you. If you'd like to know more about being a member of this church, come talk to Donnie or I. We would love to share about our church, about this is an amazing place where people love you. There's little heads shaking all over the place. There's folks that know that. Maybe you need just to pray. Maybe this morning the message touched you and you thought, man, I'm conforming. I'm fitting in without even thinking about it. Maybe you need to come to this altar and just pray and say, Lord Jesus, help me to stand out and stand up. The altars are open for you. Will you stand with us this morning as we sing?
Change my heart, oh God, make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God, may I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me.
let me remind you that just because the song ends, we don't expect that God's invitation is ended. If there's a need in your life, I don't want you to go away from here without having someone help you connect with the one who can meet that need. When we've completed the service, there'll be some gentlemen in a room across the hallway to your right, to my left, room 103, that would love to visit with you, pray with you, and to help you. They won't keep you a minute longer than you want to stay, but they'll visit with you. They'll help you find an answer to the cry in your heart. Don't leave without talking to someone. Certainly any of us as staff members, you can grab us by the hand and say, I need to talk. We'll be glad to do that. Please, whatever you do, don't leave without a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We worship the Lord through our singing. We worship the Lord through the receipt of His Word. And now we worship the Lord through giving. May God bless both the giver and the gift as we pray together.
Our Father, there's so much sacrifice that has gone on. Your Son, for me, for everyone in the world. There's a sacrifice that has gone on that we can have the freedom of worship in this nation. There's a sacrifice that's going on as your gospel is going out to the world. Lord, there are people serving you worldwide that need your attention, need your protection, your direction. Bless them, Lord. As we give, part of our giving goes to their support. Enable us, our Father, to give to you what you have given to us. You've entrusted us with the money. Might we handle it as good stewards. Bless the money it is given, and might you be glorified. In your name, amen.
Guys, we don't spend a lot of time making announcements, but there are several things I want to make sure you're aware of because the opportunity is about to pass you by. If you don't jump in real quick, World Changers, Gallup, New Mexico trip is coming up quickly.